Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We don't change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. Bienvenidos a Iglesia Bautista de Simple Fe. This is our Friday night discipleship class, and we are going to go ahead and get started tonight. Once again, we just want to remind you, we're having our neighbors next door are having their revival meeting. So if we can just be respectful of their meeting, if you please can just go out through the front and then walk through the front door to use the restroom, please do so. We greatly appreciate that. Amen. So bienvenido a nuestra clase de discipulado del viernes por la noche. Actualmente estamos estudiando a través de un libro cristiano escrito por mis amigos pastores. Estamos hablando de un tiempo futuro en la historia llamado el Día del Señor. And so for those of you who haven't been back in a while, we are in the one book, Rightly Divided, you guys already know, and we are discussing a future time in history that the Bible calls the Day of the Lord. So do me a favor, if you have a Bible there with you, would you please do me a favor and turn now with me to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Si tienes una Biblia, por favor, puedes abrir conmigo al libro de Salmo, capítulo 96. Salmo, capítulo 96. Vamos a empezar aquí en un versículo, el versículo número 10. Salmo 96, versículo 90 y 10. And what we're going to open up with tonight, and I know we're just kind of getting right into it, we're just going to pick up where we left off on the topic concerning the Day of the Lord in regards to God's coming, the second advent, or if you will, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and what the Bible says and what he is going to do. And as we are going to see tonight, we are going to clearly see that he is going to judge the earth. And so that is what we're going to talk about. He is going to judge the earth and the world in righteousness, and that's what we are going to see when he starts pouring out. Some quick announcements. We just want to thank you for coming out tonight. Tomorrow, it's supposed to rain. That's the forecast tomorrow. So as I shared with you last Wednesday, we are going to meet at 10 o'clock tomorrow. We're going to pray. If the rain stops or it doesn't rain, then we're going to go out soul winning. But if it is raining, we're going to cancel it until later. If it clears up, maybe we can just do the public downtown. We'll let you know. So if you're able to join us, please meet here at 10 o'clock and we will pray together and then we'll kind of see how it is. Amen. If it's raining, then we'll call it until later on that day. If it's not, then we'll go. Amen. So I just want to remind you tomorrow, soul winning Saturday, and that should be a blessing. Mañana vamos a ir a ganar almas, evangelizar. So invitamos nuestros miembros de la iglesia cada sábado a reunirnos aquí en la iglesia a las 10 de la mañana para orar y prepararnos para ir, pero dicen que va a llover mañana. So, si llueve, vamos a cancelar hasta más tarde. Ojalá si se para lluvia, y si no, pues vamos a cancelar por el día. So, I just want to put that announcement out there. So, this is our one book, Rightly Divided. Estamos estudiando de este libro de de mis amigos pastores. Se llama One Book, Rightly Divided. Y estamos hablando de varias doctrinas que enseña la Biblia. Y ahorita estamos hablando de un tiempo de que va a pasar en el futuro cuando Dios va a juzgar al mundo y la tierra. Y vamos a continuar estudiando por qué, pues las razones por qué el creador del universo, por qué va a juzgar a todo el mundo en este tiempo, en el futuro. So that's what we're talking about, guys. We are still discussing the day of the Lord, a future time God is going to judge the world. So we're on page 586, if you have your one book rightly divided, page 586. But let's go ahead and read these verses, and then we will open up with a word of prayer. So look at what the Bible says in Psalm 96, verse 10. Vamos a leerlo en inglés y luego en el español. Salmo 96, versículo 10. The Bible says, "Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously." Dice en las gentes, el Señor reino. También estableció el mundo, no será conmovido. Juzgará a los pueblos en justicia. Okay, let's go to our next verse. Vamos al versículo 13, en el mismo capítulo, Salmo 96, versículo 13. All right, verse number 13, the Bible says, "Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth." Salmo 96, versículo 13, "Delante del Señor que vino, porque vino a juzgar la tierra, juzgará al mundo con justicia y a los pueblos con su verdad, con su verdad." Y último, let's go to our last one and then we'll pray. Salmo 98, Psalm 98, if you can turn your Bible there with me, verse number 9. Salmo 98, versículo 9, vamos a, ahí vamos a leer eso también. Let me go ahead and open it now. I'm trying to do my best to do the English and Spanish because now we're using that Bible there that I gave you guys the other day so that way we can practice our Spanish también, amen? Or like I'm already speaking Spanglish so we can practice Spanish too. Okay, Psalm 98, verse 9. Let's go ahead and read it in English. The Bible says, "Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity." Dice la Biblia en Salmos 98, versículo 9, "Delante del Señor, porque vino a juzgar la tierra, juzgará al mundo con justicia y a los pueblos con rectitud." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you for allowing us to come together on a Friday night to study the Bible. Lord, I thank you for our visitor. What a blessing that is, God. Thank you for Sister Aileen, Lord, picking up these folks to come to church tonight, God. Please bless her, Lord, for her work of service. Tonight, God, we just pray that you would fill us with your spirit. Once again, God, we do pray for salvation for anyone who may not know Jesus Christ tonight. God, help me and our members that are going to help me to translate, to clearly communicate the gospel, Lord God. And so we can always offer that here at church. And also for further studying your word, Lord, to strengthen those that are Christians here tonight in the knowledge of your Bible. So that way, God, the knowledge we gain will help us to change our lives, to live better for you, to serve you better, and to help each other to live for you and encourage each other, keep each other accountable. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what did we just read? We just read some Psalm verses that tell us that God judges the earth. He judges the people on the earth called the world, and he judges them in righteousness. And as the psalm said earlier in Psalm 96, verse number 13, notice how the scripture says he judges the world with his truth. You see there? Lo que leemos en estos versículos es que Dios juzga al mundo y juzga la tierra. El mundo son la gente que viven arriba de la tierra. Y dice la Biblia que Dios juzga a todo con su justicia y como nos dijo en el libro de Salmo 96, en el versículo 13, que juzga al mundo con su verdad. Entonces, cuando pensamos en estas cosas, en cómo Dios tiene relación con sus criaturas, específicamente nosotros como seres humanos, sí, es verdad que Dios juzga, pero ¿con qué? con su verdad, con su palabra. Entonces, muy importante a saber que eso, que el Dios de la Biblia, el Dios de Israel, sí juzga, pero si nosotros queremos escapar su justicia cuando nos juzga como pecadores, necesitamos a responder a Él con fe y pedir a su misericordia que nos salva. Y en estos tiempos, después de cuando vino su Hijo Jesús, pedir a Él que nos salva. Ahorita vamos a leer esos versículos. So what we're talking about, guys, is God judging the world and the earth in righteousness. And just like Psalm 96 verse 13 said, what? With His truth. So I'm just showing you guys that it is true. The God of the Bible judges His creation. The God of the Bible judges His creation with what virtue? Righteousness. And with what? The word of His truth, His word. Okay, so when we talk about that future time of judgment to come, the day of the Lord or the great tribulation, He is going to pour out His judgment over this earth because of His righteousness, because the creatures of this earth, mankind, are going to be deserving of judgment because of their sin and rebellion against God. So do me a favor now. Let's turn our Bible to the book of Acts, chapter number 17. Vamos al libro de Hechos, capítulo 17. Libro de Hechos, capítulo 17. Y por favor, vamos al versículo 30. Let's go to Acts, chapter 17, verse number 30. Hay razones porque el Dios de la Biblia juzga a su creación. Número uno, porque cuando su creación rebelde a su palabra, somos, ¿cómo se dice en español? We are worthy of receiving judgment. How do you say that in Spanish? Got it. Sister Maribel, help me out too, girl. Amen. Felipe, y'all can help me out too. So we're trying to translate to our friend over here, so if you can just chime in there, amen. You got it? Nobody? Okay. So, cuando por ejemplo, si haces algo contrario de lo que tus padres te dijo como una regla, una ley, por ejemplo, si no haces caso, ¿me entiendes? Aquí hay la consecuencia, ¿ok? So, el razón por qué Dios va a juzgar al mundo es porque eso es la consecuencia de quebrando sus leyes que Él nos puso en el corazón y en la conciencia. Entonces, cuando hablamos de eso, por eso mandó su unigénito Hijo, el Señor Jesús, para que cualquier en Él creyere será salvo, porque estamos respondiendo a su justicia por su Hijo. Porque Jesús nunca pecó como nosotros. Entonces, en esos tiempos en el futuro que estamos hablando, el día del Señor, es un tiempo muy, muy terrible. Es un tiempo muy horrible, porque los que no han creído van a recibir esto del Señor que cuando va a juzgar a todos. So let me go ahead and turn there now in Spanish as well. Hechos capítulo 17, versículo 30, Acts 17:30. Okay, the Bible says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man who He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Okay, vamos a leer en español, Hechos 17, versículo 30 al 31. Y disimulaba Dios los tiempos de esta ignorancia, mas ahora manda a todos los hombres en todas partes que se arrepentían, porque he establecido un día en el cual ha de juzgar con justicia a todo el mundo por aquel varón que Él ha ordenado, de lo cual ha dado certidumbre, ¿cómo se dice? Anybody out there? Certidumbre a todos en haberlo resucitado de los muertos. Entonces, un día, dice la Biblia, este hombre que Dios ordenó a juzgar al mundo va a venir. Ese hombre es el Señor Jesucristo. Let's go now to one more place, John chapter 5. But as you guys can see, God has appointed a day. Notice there. It's a future time in which he's going to judge the world by one man that was ordained to do that. And who is that one man, guys? That's Jesus Christ. So let's go to John chapter 5. Vamos a ir a Juan capítulo 5. And by the way, for my Spanish speakers, please, chime in anytime to help me to get the message across. Okay, y'all can do that anytime, okay? John chapter 5, vamos a Juan capítulo 5, versículo 22, verse number 22, John chapter 5, verse 22. We're just studying verses that speak on this subject of God judging mankind. Nomás estamos hablando en este subjeto, right? Subject, de Dios juzgando el mundo. That's what we're talking about here. Okay, let's go to Juan 5, Juan 5, versículo 22, John 5, 22 in English. Let me go ahead and get there now. Okay, all right, so here's what the Bible says. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Juan 5, 22, porque el Padre a nadie juzga, mas todo el juicio ha dado al Hijo. So, dos versículos de la Biblia nos enseñó muy claro. Two verses from the Bible that showed us real clearly. Hechos 17, 30 al 31. Acts 17, 30 and 31. God appointed a day in the which he would judge man by the man he ordained, which is who? His Son. Dios, en un tiempo que ha preparado, él ordenó un hombre a juzgar a todo. Ese hombre es su Hijo, el Señor, Jesús. Okay, let's move a little bit further. Let's go to verse number 24. Mira, en versículo 24. Es muy importante que nosotros respondamos a la Biblia, las Escrituras, con un corazón de fe para que podamos recibir el perdón de nuestros pecados con lo que Dios nos ofrece. Y en este tiempo que vivimos, la única manera que nosotros podemos escapar ese tiempo en el futuro de cuando Dios va a juzgar a todo, es responder a su Hijo en creer en Él y pidiéndole que nos salva. Mira lo que Jesucristo enseñó en versículo 24. If we want to escape that future time of judgment that's going to come, then right now, in the time that we live in, the only way we can do that is if we respond to Jesus Christ, believing in him, asking him to save us. Look at what he says in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Mira lo que dice en Juan 5, 24. De cierto os digo, el que oye mi palabra y cree al que me envió, tiene vida eterna, y no vendrá a condenación, mas ha pasado de muerte a vida. So let me ask you a question. How many of you guys have believed in Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. Anybody out here today? Okay, so according to John 5, 24, what have you passed from? Anybody reading the Bible tonight? Come on, where's my students at? Right there. What have you passed from? There you go. So what that means is you've escaped the condemnation, which is death, and you have received what kind of What kind of life? Everlasting life. There you have it. So estamos preguntando a los que han creído en Jesucristo que levantan la mano, porque la Biblia nos dice en cuál manera escapamos la condenación que Dios tiene a todo el mundo porque nosotros quebramos sus leyes en nuestro corazón. Dice Jesucristo, si creemos en Él, después de escuchando su palabra, nosotros podemos pasar de muerte a vida instantáneamente. Mira, ¿por qué? Porque mira lo que dice en versículo 24. Por creer que Dios lo envió. Dice, no vendrá a condenación, mas ha pasado de muerte a vida. Entonces, todos los seres humanos ahorita estamos abajo del condenación de Dios. ¿Por qué? Porque nuestro pecado. Pero Dios nos ofrece ahorita los que pueden oír su palabra en estos tiempos. Cada vez que levantas en la mañana, Dios te está dando otra oportunidad a responder a su Hijo para que tú no recibes condenación y mueres en tus pecados. So every day that you wake up, the Bible is giving you a chance. If you haven't already, I know a lot of you have, but we're just repeating it for those that are watching online and in-house. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, that God sent him to die for your sins, you are under the condemnation from God. Why? Because of your personal sin against him. So the only way to escape that condemnation is to hear the word, believe in the Son. How do we escape condemnation? Anybody out there? Hear the word and believe on his Son. There you have it. There you have it. ¿En cuál manera podemos escapar la condenación? Oíd su palabra y creer en el Hijo de Dios. Amen. So that's what we're talking about, as you guys can see. Let's go to verse 27. Vamos al versículo 27. La Biblia dice en Juan 5, 27, y también le dio autoridad de hacer juicio, porque es el Hijo del Hombre. And speaking of God the Father, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. So when we talk about this day of the Lord, it is God pouring out judgment upon the inhabitants of the earth for their sin against God. The rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, they are going to get what is coming to them because they've broken God's laws. Esto es el razón porque Dios va a juzgar al mundo en un tiempo específicamente en el futuro que llamamos el tiempo de tribulación, porque eso es la consecuencia en los seres humanos que viven rebeldes a su palabra y también no querían recibir a su Hijo, el Señor Jesús, como Salvador. Por eso va a juzgar en el futuro. So, si nosotros queremos escapar, el juez de Dios, o cuando Dios va a juzgar, necesitamos responder a su Hijo que nos salva. Eso es la respuesta. So, 586 in the one book, rightly divided. The day of the Lord commences when the Lord steps into time, thrusting his will upon earth's inhabitants. This direct involvement in earthly events will become obvious when the Lord leaves heaven's glory with his armies following him to conquer his earthly foes. Following the second coming, the Lord will establish his earthly and millennial kingdom, fulfilling the prayer in Matthew 6 of thy will be done on earth as in heaven. This direct implementation of the Lord's will on earth is the day of the Lord. Although the day of the Lord will last throughout the millennial kingdom, it starts as a destruction from the Almighty, causing men's hearts to melt. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 13. Vamos a abrir nuestras Biblias al libro de Isaías, capítulo 13. Es en el ¿cómo se dice? Old Testament? Yeah, there you go. That's where it's at. Let's go to Isaiah chapter number 13. Isaiah 13 and verse number 6. It's real good that we're learning this because it's real important to know the distinguishing, if you will, times and judgments upon what people group and for what reason. Okay, so vamos a leer en el libro de Isaías, capítulo 13, versículo 6. Oh, I have chapter 6, verse 13. Let me go ahead and flip that quickly. Isaías, capítulo 13, versículo 6. Okay. Let me go ahead and get this out of here. There we go. Okay, so the Bible says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. Isn't that crazy? Vamos a leer Isaías capítulo 13, versículos 6 al 7. Aulad, porque cerca está el día del Señor, vendrá como asolamiento del Todopoderoso. Por tanto, se enverán todas las manos y desilerase todo corazón de hombre. Entonces, cuando hablamos de este tiempo en el futuro, el día del Señor no va a ser un día bonita, no va a ser un día de paz o de relación, de relación. Va a ser un día muy terrible, porque en ese tiempo ya va a ser el tiempo cuando la paciencia de Dios ha acabado. So in this time, guys, when God is going to judge the earth in the future, tribulation, it is when God's patience runs out. He has forbeared mankind and all of your forefathers, and that's it. It's too late. His cup has been filled. He is going to pour out his wrath upon the earth. That is the beginning of the day of the Lord. It starts with destruction, but then after that short time, it's going to continue with peace, because Jesus Christ is going to come back to rule over the earth. This is the description that ties together with Luke chapter 21. Vamos al libro de Lucas, capítulo 21. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. And by the way, I want to thank you guys for your patience. We started a little late. I will still respect your time, guys. We'll still finish at our normal. We'll try to get through the material as much as we can. I do apologize. All right, I lost the Spanish app there. Oh, there it is. Okay. Vamos a Lucas 21. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. And the authors are saying this is the correlation of the time and what Christ was speaking of here. Okay, so let's go together now to Luke chapter 21. Lucas 21. And if you guys have a Spanish Bible there, praise the Lord, y'all can read along with me to practice your Spanish, and y'all can help Brother Carlos too. Amen. All right. Let's see if I can open it up here. Here we go. There we go. Thank God for technology. Amen. Let me go ahead and get it here prepared on the screen. And we're going to start reading in verse 25. Luke 21, verse 25. Okay, the Bible says, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear." So there you go. You guys just read that where? In Isaiah 13. So notice how you can cross-reference Scripture with Scripture. So there you have it. Men's hearts are going to fail them because of the day of the Lord. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Mira lo que dice en el libro de Lucas 21, empezando en el libro en el versículo 25. Y habrá señales en el sol, y en la luna, y en las estrellas, y en la tierra angustia de naciones, con perplejidad, el mar y las ondas bramando, desmayándose los hombres a causa del temor y la expectación de las cosas que sobrevendrán a toda la tierra, porque los poderes del cielo serán conmovidos. Y entonces verán al Hijo del Hombre que vendrá en una nube con poder y gran gloria. Y cuando estas cosas comenzaren a hacer, mirad en alto y levantad vuestras cabezas, porque vuestra redención está cerca. So, podemos leer muy claro que empieza este tiempo del Día del Señor, va a ser un tiempo muy terrible para los que van a vivir en esos tiempos en el futuro. Y no va a ser un tiempo de relación, no va a ser un tiempo de paz, va a ser un tiempo de Dios juzgando al mundo y cosas supernaturales que van a mirar en el cielo y en muchas cosas. So it's not going to be a time of peace, guys, right? It's going to be a time of great terror and terribleness for those inhabitants left on the earth. Okay, we're on the bottom of page 586. These, we have three specific events which are going to take place before the day of the Lord. Vamos a mirar ahorita que vamos a aprender que hay tres eventos específicos que va a pasar antes que comienza el Día del Señor. As a warning to those who will inhabit the earth during Daniel's 70th week, The Lord provided ample insights as to the arrival of the day. In fact, there are three major and specific events that must take place prior to the onset of the day of the Lord. Number one, the moon shall be turned to blood before the day of the Lord. Let's go ahead and turn to Joel chapter 2. Vamos a abrir nuestras Biblias al libro de Joel, capítulo 2. Evento que va a pasar antes del día del Señor que comienza, dice la Biblia que la luna va a transformar a sangre. Vamos a mirar eso ahorita en el libro de Joel, en el how do I say Old Testament again, brother? How do you say? There you go. Yeah, in the Old Testament, okay? Okay, so Joel capítulo 2, vamos a leer en versículo 31. Joel chapter 2, verse number 31. Here we have the first event that's going to precede the day of the Lord. Okay, number one, here we got the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. Okay, Joel capítulo 2, versículo 31. El sol se tornará en tinieblas y la luna en sangre antes que venga el día grande y espantoso del Señor. So es muy claro. Antes que empieza o comienza el día del Señor, muy terrible, muy horrible que estamos leyendo en la Biblia, los que viven en esos tiempos en la tierra van a mirar que el sol ya no va a dar su luz y la luna se va a transformar al sangre. Fíjate. Inhabitants. Let me go ahead and try to... Los habitantes de la tierra que van a vivir en esos tiempos. Okay? So what happened first before the day of the Lord? Anybody? They're going dark. There you go. There you go. Okay, so the moon is turned into blood before the day of the Lord, and this literal blood moon happens at the opening of the sixth seal. Vamos al último libro de la Biblia. Eso va a ser muy fácil. Nomás abre tu Biblia al último libro. Se llama Apocalipsis. Let's go turn to our Bibles now. The last book in your Bible, it's very easy to find. Just the book of Revelation. Turn it all the way to the right. We're going to go to Revelation chapter number 6. Apocalipsis capítulo 6. And we're going to read in verse number 12. Vamos a leer en versículo número 2. La buena cosa en aprendiendo con una iglesia que te enseña la Biblia así, versículo por versículo, es que vas a conocer y aprender y recibir más conocimiento porque estás leyendo así, versículo por versículo, y comparando las escrituras con otras escrituras para que tú puedas saber eso lo que dice. Okay, so look at Revelation 6:12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. As blood. Mira lo que dice en Apocalipsis 6:12. Y miré cuando él abrió el sexto sello, y he aquí fue hecho en gran terremoto, y el sol fue hecho negro como silicio del pelo, y la luna fue hecha como sangre. So when the seals are being opened up in that time of judgment that Jesus is opening up those seals, supernaturally all the judgments are going to begin to take place. Beginning there, moving forward, the day of the Lord starts. So has the day of the Lord begun today? Anybody? No, thank God. That's why, as I shared with you before, our church, we are premillennial, pre-tribulational, which means it's still a future event. There are people that view this as symbolic, or there are people that interpret this as spiritually already taking place. But as you guys can see, that's just not correct. Okay, the fact that the sixth seal... Oh, sorry, guys. Let me go ahead and open up the Spanish Bible here. The fact that the sixth seal does not take place until the end of Daniel's 70th week reveals why the so-called blood moon hype a few years back was nothing but a farce. It caused confusion and ridicule, and understandably... So, since the moon never became as blood, as the timing was all wrong. I don't know if you guys remember that. Have you guys ever heard of the blood moon thing back in the day? So when I was at my old church, man, Brother Adam, I love him, but he would entertain this guy named Jonathan Kahn. If you YouTube this guy, he's a Hebrew. I believe he's a fellow Christian, but he has all his prophecy wrong. He made this big stink about the blood moons, and get your chicken and your rice and your eggs because it's going down, you know, like hardcore stuff. It happened and everything came, you know, everything worked out as normal. It was just another day. I told him, come on, brother, why are you hyping everybody up like that? But that's just what happens when those Christians entertain those preachers when they don't know how to rightly divide the Word of God. So we're not worried as Bible believers or rightly dividing the Word of God. You don't need to let those books and those guys make money off you. But again, a lot of Christians, they're duped to buy those people's books because the Bible's not sufficient. They feel like they have a secret understanding. So uno como siete años o ocho años pasado en Estados Unidos, hay muchos predicadores que enseñaban que la luna iba a transformar a rojo, color rojo, y empezaron a enseñar esa doctrina de la Biblia que, ay, mira, el tiempo de Dios juzgando al mundo va a empezar, prepárense con comida, todo eso. Pero esos predicadores eran en error porque no estaban estudiando el contexto históricamente con el libro de Apocalipsis y otras escrituras, que todavía no ha pasado esto, literalmente, porque todavía tenemos la luz del sol, ¿verdad? Entonces, eso no ha pasado hasta ahorita. Todavía va a pasar en el futuro. So, por eso estamos leyendo juntos. Okay, number two. Elijah, or at least one of the two witnesses, will come before the day of the Lord. Malachi chapter 4. Let's go to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter number 4. Brothers, I don't know how to say Malachi in Spanish. Amen. Can somebody help me out there? What is? How do you even say that? Anybody out there? How do you say? Malachias? Okay. So Mama said it. Mama, how you say it? All right. Malachias, capítulo 4. Versículo 5. Let's go there now. Malachi 4, verse 5. Thank you there, little Antonio. I appreciate you, man. Gracias. All right. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Malachias 4, 5. He aquí, yo os envío a Elías, el profeta, antes que venga el día del Señor grande y terrible. Otra vez. El tiempo del día del Señor es un tiempo grande y terrible. The day of the Lord is a terrible day. It's a dreadful day coming on the earth. Okay, this timing is also easily pinpointed as Elijah is one of the two witnesses during Daniel's 70th week. You can read about that in Revelation 11, 3 through 8. The day of the Lord will not take place until after the tribulation of those days. Let's go to Matthew 24. Vamos a ir ya. Regresando al libro de Mateo. So, como puedes mirar, aquí leemos muchos versículos de la Biblia para que puedes aprender más de la conseja de Dios, para que ayudarte a conocer más y crecer en tu conocimiento del Señor. Okay, Matthew chapter number 24. This correlates now concerning the day of the Lord. It is going to take place after the tribulation of those days. And we've been discussing that in detail. Although it is a 7-year tribulation time period in whole, the first 3.5 years of that time is a time of peace. But the last 3.5 is a time of judgment. So even though it's all tribulation in those 7 years, there is going to be a particular time, if you will, that distinguishes the one half from the other. And the great tribulation is when that begins to happen with all these judgments correlating together. So that might sound a little confusing, but just hang on. We'll keep painting the picture for you. The day of the Lord will not take place until after the tribulation of those days. El día del Señor no va comenzar hasta después de estos tiempos que dice la Biblia, la tribulación de esos días. Mira lo que dice el Señor en Mateo, capítulo 24, versículo 29. Look at what Jesus says here. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So do you guys see that now? Mateo capítulo 24, versículo 29. Man, can somebody help me out with that? What does that say, brother? In verse 29. Thank you, sister. Después de la tribulación de aquellos días, el sol se oscurecerá y la luna no dará su luz y las estrellas caerán del cielo y los poderes de los cielos serán conmovidos. So, otra vez, Jesucristo nos está enseñando que es el día del Señor va a comenzar después de esos días específicamente que se llama la tribulación. Y es un tiempo de 7 años que va a venir en el futuro después de cuando la iglesia se, ¿cómo se dice en español? Después de cuando la iglesia, el Señor va a venir por todos los cristianos de los que fueran salvos. Y en un tiempo después de eso, estos días van a empezar cuando Dios va a juzgar a la tierra y al mundo. So, as you guys can see, the day of the Lord is going to start after the tribulation of those days. So it's going to be it's going to seem like an eternity for those people, but it's going to happen after all these sequential events. Anybody have any comments or questions so far, what we're talking about here? Nobody? Okay. The timing of this context is also easily pinpointed. According to the next verse from the Olivet Discourse, the inhabitants of the earth shall see the Son of Man coming, and he shall send his angels, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You can read that in verse 30 and 31. Interestingly, there is no one leaving earth at this time, and the gathering is only for Israel's restoration, regeneration, and resurrection. En estos tiempos, el Señor va a proteger a su pueblo, Israel, por los que van a creer en Él y recibirlo como su Mesías, y lo va a proteger de todas estas cosas supernatural que va juzgar a los otros habitantes de la tierra. Entonces, hay dos cosas que a pensar de la Biblia. Número uno, la tema de la Biblia generalmente es hablando de Jesucristo. Pero por medio de un pueblo que se llama Israel, nos dio sus escrituras y sus profecías por esos gentes, ¿verdad? Los gentes de Israel. Entonces, porque todas las promesas de la Biblia generalmente están acerca de esa puebla, Israel, cuando empieza ese día del Señor, los va a proteger. No va a ser muchos hebreos, pero un pocos que van a escapar pues en esos tiempos. So, in the future, as we already studied a lot, you guys should know that we have seen from the Bible that God is going to preserve the remnant, a little portion of Jews that are going to believe in Jesus as their Messiah. God is going to protect them from all the evil that he will bring about on the earth in those times. Okay, a couple more minutes. The gathering of the elect includes Israelites from all over the earth where they have been scattered. Ezekiel 37:21. The nation will be united and is promised to be his people once again. Ezekiel 37:23. A united Israel will have one king. Ezekiel 37. So in el libro de Ezekiel, pueden leer en capítulo 37 que Dios dio promesa a Israel que un día los va a unidad, o como se dice, los va a, how do you say that, guys? He's going to gather or unite. How do we say? He is going to grab all the Hebrews together. Los hebreos que han, el Señor cuando los juzgó en estos tiempos, antes estamos hablando de muchas cosas, yo sé, pero lo queremos también comunicar en una manera básica. Dios, ¿ah? juntar, sí, va a juntar los hebreros que lo mandó por varias partes del mundo. Y en esos tiempos, en el tiempo de la tribulación, los va a traer para atrás a su tierra, en ese pedazo de tierra que se llama Israel ahorita, físicamente Jerusalén, los va a guardar allí y los va a proteger. So, por eso hay muchas profecías que no son por los mexicanos, no son por los chinos, no son por otra gente que se llama gentiles, son nomás específicamente por los hebreos y también ni por los cristianos, son por eso. Por eso estamos hablando de esas cosas. Okay, so before we close, antes que cerramos, let's go ahead and finish with some basic things here once again, just to recap, if you will. We won't go too much into this, right? We'll stop there. And just do me a favor, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Antes que cerramos, nomás vamos a leer otra parte de la Biblia. Vamos a terminar ahí con nuestro libro de estudio. Y luego vamos a abrir por un tiempo de preguntas y respuestas. Pero si puedes abrir otra vez últimamente al libro de Romanos, capítulo 5. La Biblia nos dice en cuál manera podemos escapar esos tiempos y también recibir el perdón de nuestros pecados por medio de su Hijo Jesús, para que nosotros no necesitamos tener miedo que vamos a estar abajo de su condenación en esos tiempos. Ahorita vamos a enseñarle antes que nos vamos cómo podemos recibir eso. So before we go, we're just going to kindly remind all of us this evening how we can have assurance of escaping this time of judgment from God. Because even though a lot of us might not be physically alive, we don't know if the rapture can happen tonight, tomorrow. The Lord may want to wait 50 more years so that way Eileen or Gibby's or Giovanni's children can have a chance. Maybe, we don't know. I'm just saying, we don't know when God is going to begin this process. But if he doesn't do it soon and he takes his time, we just want to remind people how they can escape the condemnation from their sin, of the wrath of God, if you will. So look here, verse number 1, versículo 1, Romanos capítulo 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mira lo que dice en versículo 1 en Romanos 5. Justificados pues por fe, tenemos paz para con Dios por nuestro Señor Jesucristo. So solamente Jesucristo nos puede salvar, Él nos puede justificar delante de Dios su Padre, porque su justicia es suficiente para pagar por nuestros, por la fe. La Biblia dice que nadie puede ser salvo por sus hechos malos o buenos. Nadie puede ser salvo por su religión o ser bautizado. No. Solamente es por fe, como dice ahí en versículo 1. Let's go a little bit later. Mira lo que dice en versículo 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Porque Cristo, cuando éramos aún sin fuerza, a su tiempo murió por los impios. Mira lo que dice en versículo 8. Look at what verse number 8 says. But God commended this love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mas Dios how do you say that, brother? Encarece, is that how you say it? In Spanish? How do you say it? Okay, there you go. Su amor para con nosotros, en que siendo aún pecadores, Cristo murió por nosotros. So mira, gloria a Dios. Sí, Dios tiene amor por todos los pecadores, aunque en el mismo tiempo tiene, ¿cómo se dice? He has his judgment against us. How do we say that? So, en el mismo tiempo que Dios está enojado con los pecadores por sus pecados, en el mismo tiempo tiene amor por los pecadores, porque su voluntad no es que nadie se muere en su pecado y lo necesita mandar al infierno. Mira, Dios te amó tanto que, aunque a lo mejor ahorita muchos no son cristianos, Cristo todavía murió por nosotros. So, ¿cómo podemos escapar de la condenación de Dios? How can we escape condemnation? Look at verse number 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Versículo 9. Pues mucho más, siendo ahora justificados por su sangre, por él seremos salvos de la ira. Entonces, cuando creemos en Jesucristo y lo pedimos que nos salva, la Biblia dice que es por medio de su sangre cuando ofreció su cuerpo en la cruz. Eso, él pagó nuestro débito del pecado con su sangre. Por eso la Biblia dice que solamente por la sangre de Dios, de Cristo, podemos recibir el perdón de pecados, right? Okay, so últimamente vamos al libro de Romanos capítulo 10 y aquí lo dejamos. We just want to always present the gospel because we never know who may or may not be saved whenever people come to church. And if some of you tonight are still doubting and you say, Brother Carlos, I just want to make sure that I'm saved. I know I've been coming to church. My family invites me, but I genuinely haven't yet really made that decision. Then tonight can be your night. We always just want to remind you guys, right, of the gospel. Mira lo que va. Mira cómo Dios nos explica muy básico en cómo podemos ser salvos. Es algo muy simple. Romanos 10, 9. Romans 10, 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Otra vez, que si confesares con tu boca al Señor Jesús y creeres en tu corazón que Dios le resucitó de los muertos, serás salvo. Fíjate, es muy, muy fácil. Nosotros no podemos ser salvos nomás por ser miembro de una religión o de una iglesia, o también, a lo mejor cuando estamos pequeños, nuestros padres nos llevaron a una iglesia y nos bautizaron abajo de un agua o cosas así. No, eso no nos va a salvar. Dice Dios, tu creador, si nosotros queremos ser salvos, necesitamos responder a Jesús con nuestro corazón y creyendo en él que Dios lo resucitó de los muertos después de cuando murió en la cruz. Y si tú quieres recibir salvación, es creyendo en eso con todo tu corazón. Muy, 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 muy básico, muy, muy simple. Nomás necesitas confesar con tu boca, Señor Jesús, yo creo que tú moriste por mis pecados en la cruz. Yo sé que soy pecador. Yo sé que yo quebré tus leyes que pusiste en mi conciencia. Yo sé que solamente tu sangre me puede salvar. Pero como está predicando el hermano, si yo creo en ti, tu Biblia me dice que yo puedo ser salvo. Eso es muy básico para recibir salvación. That's how simple it is to be saved. It's just to respond with all your heart that Jesus died for your sins and that God raised him from the dead. If you trust that, that's how you'll be saved. Amen. So, I just want to leave you with that. Nomás quiero dejarle con eso. Yo sé que estamos hablando de mucha información y empezamos poquito más tarde, pero lo últimamente, eso es lo más importante doctrina que podemos enseñar en nuestra iglesia, es el plan de salvación. Si todavía hay alguien aquí que no sabe de su salvación, no dejas una oportunidad pasarte en recibiendo a Cristo, porque la Biblia dice que mañana no es promesado a ninguno, ¿verdad? So we always just want to remind everybody that comes to church of the plan of salvation, because it says that tomorrow is not promised. So if you're not sure and you want to be sure, we want to introduce you to Jesus Christ tonight. So si no tienes aseguranza, si no estás seguro que si morías hoy vas al cielo, antes que vayan, por favor, hablen con nosotros. Queremos introducirte al Señor Jesús. Amen. So does anybody have any questions or comments about what we've been discussing of the Day of the Lord? ¿Alguien tiene preguntas sobre nuestra enseña hoy del Día del Señor or anything else like that? Anybody out there? Comments, questions about what we've been talking about tonight? Anybody out there? Nobody out there? Okay, so when will the day of the Lord begin? That's a sign right before. You good? You got it. After the rapture of the church. Okay, good. What did Jesus say? I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. After the of those days, after the what? After the tribulation. Okay. What's going to happen? What are the three main events? One, the before that, what's going to be darkened? What's going to be darkened? The sun. Okay. What color is the sun going to turn? What color is the sun going to turn? Black. Okay. And then what's going to happen to the moon? Red. The stars are going to fall from heaven. I mean, there's some earthquakes. The universe is literally going to shake. That's what Jesus said. The powers of the heavens is going to shake. It's going to be like crazy. And then the Son of Man is going to come and have... Okay. Okay, two more questions. How does someone pass from death to life? But what did he say specifically in John 5? He who hears my word and he that God sent me has everlasting life and is passed from death. Man, you guys are good. Okay. Okay, confess what? Yep. What do you confess and or unto whom do you confess? That's a good question. Okay. What do you believe with your heart? You got it. You got the first half. Confess your mouth. And then what do you believe with your heart about your confession? What are you confessing to God? That's right. So that's how you respond to God. That's how you believe, and that's how you're saved. So that's it. Gibby, if we go out tomorrow, whoever wants to go tomorrow, if someone wants to be saved, that's how simple it is, Diego. If you want to go to heaven, here's what you need to do. You need to hear the scriptures that I'm telling you, and you need to believe and confess with your mouth that God sent his son Jesus to die for you and that he rose again. If you trust that with all your heart, you'll be saved. Boom. You don't got to get water baptized. You don't got to do nothing. But if you want to take me out to eat after, tell them that's cool with me. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just kidding. Okay, if no one else has any questions, let's go ahead and call it a night. Pray. If no one else has any Bible questions, okay. Are you sure? No one else? Questions, comments? Preguntas? No? Okay. Anybody else? Nobody else? Questions, comments? Call it a night? Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you now for the word of God. We thank you for allowing all of us to come together, Lord. I try my best, God, and I thank you for my church friends here helping me to, we're just trying our best to share and to edify our friend that is visiting with your word, Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you for her life, Lord. We pray for her salvation. We pray for her health, Lord. We pray that you'd keep her well. And, Lord, help us to be a body of believers that make her feel welcome and just can be a friend to her, God. So thank you for how she came to come here tonight, fellowship through Felipe and Sister Eileen, Lord. Would you please just watch over her, God. We pray for her. And Father, thank you for everyone else that came to church tonight, God. I know, Lord, that it's a Friday night. It's cold. Anybody could have been anywhere else, God. But it sure is a blessing to see that people just want to come study the Bible, learn a little bit more on how they can live better for you, live more holier for you, righteous for you. And Lord, if you let us to wake up tomorrow, we pray for an opportunity to go soul winning and evangelize. But if it's raining, God, then help us to use that as an opportunity, maybe for fellowship. But if not, Lord, we just trust you for the direction, God. So we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church, love you. God bless you. If anybody has any questions, we'll be here to hang out. Amen.